We're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast. This is Ed Sorbo. He's Ed Sorbo of Lindemann Engineering. Am I
You're
correct?
Michael Gugis.
I am Michael Gugis, and I'm going to mention my blog's name again.
Motorbike, you're using it again.
Motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
Show number 50.
This is show number 50.
And you know, I think that somebody crumpling up packing paper in the background.
Sort of
would be like the worst of our problems.
Right?
I mean, the least of
least
our problems.
Of our problems. Sort of appropriate.
Yeah.
Ed, where can we find you on the web?
le-suspension.com, Lindemann Engineering.
If anybody would want to do that.
Anybody who wants their bike to handle better, go faster for less effort, et cetera, et cetera, talk to me.
You know, Ed, I was thinking from our last podcast, I was thinking, you know, here's the reason that you never want to hear somebody talk about the how good or bad their spouse is in bed, okay? There's two reasons. Number one, if their spouse is really awful, all you do
you
is just you
that.
Feel sorry for them, right?
Right?
It's like, wow, both of them. And if their spouse is really good, then you're like,
you don't want to hear that either.
No, you do. You're like, oh, really?
Taking notes.
What time do you go to work?
Learn some tricks.
What time do you go to work? I say, do you guys leave the back door open? How friendly are they? I'm just saying. It's a no-win situation. Speaking of no-win situations.
Can you think of one?
I can think of one. We are recording this tonight after the MotoGP season finale in Valencia.
You know what happened on Saturday?
What happened on Saturday?
A guy who's been racing for his entire life.
Right.
A guy who is the definition of precise,
yes,
consistent, and wicked fast,
right,
said that his qualifying lap, Lorenzo,
right,
was his best lap ever.
It was perfect.
It was a perfect lap.
Was perfect. Like I said, read Nikki Hayden's comments about Lorenzo's lap. Nikki was just like, that. There it is, you know.
I was
perfect.
Talking to my buddy Reno, and he had
Reno,
a
what up?
Quote from Smith, Bradley Smith.
Right.
Bradley gets to look at Lorenzo's data.
Uh-huh.
And Bradley said that in the last segment, so the last quarter of the track,
mm-hmm,
that Lorenzo was a half second faster than him just in that 1 second.
Right.
And that he, Bradley, is riding at the limit.
He's
wiggling, wobbling, all this
sliding
stuff. And Lorenzo's half a second faster and perfect.
Perfect.
You know, he's not wiggling at all. He's just mind-blowing. And you know what? There's a lot of ways people can give compliments, right?
Right.
Your mom tells you you're great and all that kind of stuff, right? But when your peers...
Right,
are blown away by your skill level. I don't know that there's a higher compliment than that.
Crutchlow used to say that because when he was at Tech 3, he got to look at Lorenzo's data too. And he's just like, I'm looking at the speed this guy is at mid-corner. I'm like, I don't know how. I do not know how to do it. I want to talk about two motorcycle road racers.
Michael's got a list, people.
I got notes, baby. I did research, okay? Look at this note. Ed, what does this say right here?
Josh Hayes' hair.
Right. We're going to talk about Josh Hayes' hair and why Josh Hayes' hair is so good. Okay.
Josh is short like mine.
Not really. Not so much. Have you seen the picture of the latest road racing world?
I have to admit, I haven't played that much. I like Josh's riding style and his smoothness and all that
finally,
stuff.
Finally. But Josh is really...
But I couldn't tell you exactly what haircut he has
he's
today.
He's picked it up a notch.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in a bit. I have two racers that I want to talk about in regards to the Valencia MotoGP Grand Finale. Ed and I have made the editorial decision that we are not going to talk about Valentino Rossi. We are not going to talk about that poor man's meltdown. I said on my blog, I said he is exhibiting the characteristics of textbook paranoia, and I really feel bad for him.
We're happy to talk about racing, but we're not interested in adding fuel to the fire of the crazy claims. And besides which, it happened after the race. Season's over.
Season's over, pal.
Did you see, I know you didn't because I asked you this already. So we've talked about how cool the after the race celebrations are.
Oh, right.
You mentioned the guy in World Superbike who wore the helmets of the previous
Northern
champions
Ireland,
from
Jordan,
his
Jonathan Ray,
country
right.
and whatever. So Lorenzo on the cool down lap here, he had his buddies were dressed up in his past suits and helmets and gloves and boots from his previous four championships.
Right.
And they were standing in formation, and then he joined them all standing the same way with a big banner above. I thought it was really cool. It's work. You got to choreograph. You got to organize it. And it's not putting anybody down. It's just saying a thing about this is number five.
This is the...
How cool is it to have saved all your old suits too, right?
You know what? And how confident was Jorge? You know,
dude, that guy came to the track with he had had trucks to bring in all of his confidence.
Right.
I never seen that guy smile so much in practice. He was ready as ever. He ready knew to roll. What he had to do. He knew he was capable of doing it.
Yep.
And he knew he was going to control his destiny.
You know what
and
the,
he did.
You know what the turning point in his season was? When he read motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
Yes,
when I suggested
totally true.
It was either you're either in and out or here, you know, and he said, I'm in. You know, and
you know what the best line of the weekend was?
What was?
Nicky Hayden, when they inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He said, you know, I haven't won as many races as some of these guys, other people who are in the Hall.
Right.
I haven't won as many championships, blah, 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 blah. But I got in there. Nicky.
I mean, got it in. Right.
I really liked the introduction that the president guy gave of Nicky.
Which was?
And of course, it's timely because he talked about how Nicky is always a nice guy. He never caused trouble. He never was a drama dude. He just did his job to the best of his ability all the time.
You know?
And he's humble, right?
Did you see the t-shirt that Aspar gave him on the way out?
I did not, but I saw him win his first MotoGP race at Laguna Seca.
Yes,
I watched him crying like
sobbed
a man
like
on
a,
the cool down
exactly.
lap.
That was
and
awesome.
And I asked his dad about riding on the back of the bike with him, and his dad said, about burnt my ass because of the muffler.
Sounds like girl. The t-shirt that Aspar gave him said, it's not about the accomplishments you make are not about what you get. It's about what it makes you into. You know, and as much
I'm looking forward to watching him in World Superbike.
I just, like I said, man, I just
worry. Well, his wrist is what it is, and it's going to get fixed, or shoulder, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's the fact that he can't ride a bike like he used to. But that's, you know, that's, again,
none of us can ride like we used
to. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. We're going
agreed.
One.
We're going
to
see how it goes.
Nicky Hayden was one of the two MotoGP riders I want to talk about.
Okay.
The GP riders I want to talk about. And I remember.
This is Michael. Getting Ed back on track, folks. That
can
might
you
be a
believe
first.
It? Can you believe it? It might be a first. Why? Why was I going to talk about Nicky? Because I remember, Ed, I remember stories from my life, and I remember comments and things that really ring true, and I try to think about these things in terms of later on, what seems sometimes like an offhand comment can carry a great deal of weight, carry a great deal of wisdom. Somebody was asking Nicky years ago to talk trash about one of his competitors pre-race. And Nicky said,
not that kind of guy.
No, he didn't say that. He says, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to give that guy one more reason to need to beat me so badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look back.
You know, I've raced Nicky, Tommy, and Roger Lee. And kicked all their asses.
Oh, God.
They were a lot younger back then.
What happened when you woke up?
No. These were all at Weira races.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
No, really.
How old were they? Like 4?
Nicky and Tommy were like tiny little guys right. on a TZR 250 with a TZ engine, and they entered the 6 hour at Seattle.
Okay.
And I was on my FZR 600.
Right.
And battled with one of them through the whole. It was funny because they would blast me on the front straightaway, and I would go around him in turn 2.
Okay.
And then he blast me in the front straightaway, went on for the whole hour. And then Eric Philipson went out against the other brother and had the same battle.
Hey, Ed.
It was awesome. And we're like, who are these kids?
Ed, what are we eating right now?
We are eating Hickory Farms gift basket.
Hickory Farms gift basket stuff. Thank you to everybody who sent that to us. Ed, what point did our culture, did we start taking pictures of food and putting it on the internet?
Dude,
hey, look what I'm eating.
It's better than all of the derogatory, negative, evil Facebook stuff. I actually, in the beginning when I was doing Facebook, I'm like, this food stuff is ridiculous. It's pointless. But now I see so much bullshit that when I see a food picture, I'm like, food, right?
That's sort of nice. Ed, that's sort of the way I feel about racing. It's
so
like all the other craziness.
What did you want to say about the second person?
Eddie Lawson.
What about Eddie Lawson?
And this goes directly
to
the race.
You seen the video of Eddie Lawson? There's no video of it. Eddie Lawson picked a track worker up by the throat and shook him one time because Eddie didn't have the appropriate pass to go wherever he wanted to go on his scooter with his girlfriend. It's got some funny to it, but you know, it's also not that, right? If you're working at a track,
right?
And you don't know who Eddie Lawson is.
Maybe you deserve.
Why did you take the job, right?
Maybe you deserve to be strung up a little bit.
On the other hand, Eddie, please don't do that again.
No, exactly. don't do that to us. We like Eddie. This has to do directly with today's race.
Okay.
Lots of questions about why didn't Marquez pass Lorenzo? Okay. All part of the big Dorna HRC anti-Rossi conspiracy theory. But I remember years ago, and again, years ago, one of those comments that grows as you think about it. Eddie Lawson was being interviewed by some moto journalist, I think when he was riding the Kajiva GP bike. Okay. And Eddie, the guy was asking Eddie questions about something or other. And Eddie grabbed one of his helmets off of a shelf, handed it to the guy and said, "Here, put this helmet on. There's my bike. And go do my lap times. Go do my lap times. Then come in and tell me what you think about the machine."
You want to know what Eddie Lawson's best one-liner ever was?
Which was?
So Freddie Spencer had won the 250 and the 500. Right. He was dominating.
We're going to talk about that too later.
The next year, Freddie had all kinds of problems. He got hurt. Honda had carbon fiber wheels that broke, yada, yada, yada. He was nowhere in the championship.
Right.
And they kept asking, "Well, Eddie, you won this race, but if Freddie had been here, would you have won?" And so finally, I think it was in Sweden, he goes, "Freddie who?" Best one-liner ever, right?
Absolutely perfect. I got a book. We'll talk about that at some point today. You look back at what Honda was actually doing in their GP division back then. Freddie's lucky to be alive. Gardner's lucky to be alive. Those people were insane.
I think Gardner had the ability to put his own life at risk on any motorcycle he rode.
No, but it was crazier than that. It was just nuts. I forget which bike it was, but for whatever reason, I can actually look it up. If you wheelied on it, it puked oil onto the rear tire. The Honda solution was, don't wheelie anymore. Oh my God. Anyway, people ask why did Marquez not pass Lorenzo? Why did Pedrosa not pass Lorenzo? People who are looking for conspiracies, all I want to say is you go out there, you put the helmet on, you ride the bike that fast. Ed, how many times have you been in races setting up the leader for a last lap pass, and then some jackass comes in and tries to take second from you? Screws everything up, right?
Yeah, I don't want to discuss that stuff. Anybody who's asking that question is an idiot who doesn't race.
Nicely said.
Yeah.
Nicely said. Man, I have to say, though, it was an impressive ride by Jorge. You know, again,
it was an impressive ride by all three of them, and especially the Honda guys who have two extremely dissimilar styles.
Mm-hmm.
And on a bike that clearly has front end issues, and yet they finished almost exactly the same.
It was interesting.
It came out, you know.
Yeah.
There's a great example of Pedrosa was more affected by the full fuel load. Mm-hmm. And had to cool it, but then that advantage was that he didn't work his tire as hard,
right?
So he could go faster at the end, and I think he was surprised by the pass that he made on Marquez. It wasn't the best place for him to make the pass,
right?
And it happened, and then partially from being surprised, he made a mistake in the next corner, which let Marquez go right back by.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful. At one point, they showed Lorenzo's lap times. You know, he had, in the middle of the race, I saw 31.7
mm-hmm.
five times in a row.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It was just amazing.
You know, I can do that kind of consistency, but on a bike that is how much percentage easier to ride, I don't know, a huge difference, right?
Right.
I mean, some of the things of that bike are probably easier than our average street bikes.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about that. That's on the list, Ed. That's on the list.
But to do laps on the same tenth of a second, you know, on a bike with that much power. So I've done strings of laps on the same hundredths of a second on my TZ250.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fast bike, and it made, you know, front running MotoGP AMA level power.
Right.
Depending on what dyno you want to use. But it made not even half the power that, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, about a third. A third the power. And Lorenzo did it with the whole world watching.
Oh, yeah.
For 30 laps, well, with the championship on the line.
What's the name of the baseball movie where the guy is the pitcher and he wants to have the one great game before he gets fired?
I've never...
And he has a thing where he engages the mechanism. And when he does that, it's a mental thing. You can't hear the fans anymore. And then he throws the pitch and then the sounds come back in, right? And that's what they, we're in him when we're, right? And near the end of the game, he's struggling and he's trying to engage the mechanism. It starts, and then the sound comes back in, right?
Right.
Lorenzo can engage the mechanism, and there is no, there's nobody else. It's only him and the racetrack. He's by himself. They didn't have to lap anybody.
They didn't?
They didn't. They didn't lap anybody.
Really?
The slowest guy in the race was more than fast enough to not have to get lapped. You know what?
Huh.
That's been the case in most of the races this year.
Yeah.
It was because only in the weird situations.
They got rid of those turd CRT bikes. Yeah. You know, like I said, talk all the shit about Honda you want, but when the sport needed a production racer, they did exactly what Dornan wanted.
People that
want to
talk shit are going to talk shit regardless. Yeah. I don't care what they say.
Yeah,
so what's the next thing on your list? And I was talking about the difference, or that's probably a ways down, or you want to do that now?
Well, no, we're just going to wrap up our...
How are we on time?
How are we doing on time, Paul? Hold on, I'll get my reading glasses.
See, we're professional radio guys, folks.
Right, exactly, professional radio guys.
Don't do this at home.
Don't, exactly. actually, you know what? We checked in with Sandy before we started. Sandy's a media professional.
Oh, okay.
Ran a radio station.
That's why she won't be in the room with us.
Exactly. Wants nothing to do with this. We're probably going to have to edit her name out. We got time. We're good. Hey, let's criticize another Italian.
Okay.
Ducati.
But before we get there,
what?
How do the rules change next year? What the handicaps? Do they go away?
Yeah.
All of them?
As far as we know.
Tires?
Tires are all equal. The number of engines is all equal. Fuel is all equal. They might do something.
They're not decided for sure on the electronics.
They're not.
Right?
No. Well, right now where they are in the electronics is...
But it's going to be significantly closer than it was. Tires are going to be the same,
yeah.
And fuel is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good enough.
And then there's going to be
There's
going to be a, air quotes, spec electronic software.
Right, yeah. We've talked about that, and who knows. I mean, right? Clearly those guys aren't going to put these people's lives at risk.
Well,
just
the manufacturers have seized control of the spec software.
Well, then they'll come up with a compromise, and it won't be perfect, but it'll be good enough.
Yeah.
When you get points for an infraction in MotoGP,
right.
Those points go on your license.
Yes.
Are they cumulative?
Yes.
Or does it go to zero each year?
No, they carry for 12 months.
Okay, so they can carry for a year from whenever you did
it. Right.
So that makes the point system stronger than I thought it was.
To prevent,
because otherwise guys would be like, oh, we'd do anything we want in the last race.
Yeah,
okay, I got you.
No, it's still way too subjective for me.
Yes, but it's still better than I was thinking.
Two words, Alex Rins.
What was your... my point was only that I just now found out that it's stronger than I thought.
Yeah,
so,
you do have to... Yes, to keep people from going...
Right, and so then once you...
I got to the last race of the year, exactly. I got no points.
So how does it work? Once you've gotten four and you get penalized, is the next time you get penalized at three?
Is it
progressive?
That's the problem. It's all up to the race director. You know, he can decide that the...
He decides how many points you get. But my question is, now that you've gotten penalized...
It's like your driver's license points.
Right, exactly, okay. Which gets steeper as you go up.
But then there's other ones that drop off. So it's about...
Right,
it's
I understand that. But so you're saying that next year, if you went to four and you got your penalty, now you're at zero.
No. You got your four. Okay, those stay on your license.
Okay.
Okay, until the first transgression, I don't forget.
Goes off. Okay, right. Yeah. But then what my question is the penalty, is the threshold for getting a punishment, does it remain the next four or is it now three?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay,
I really need to find that out. You know, they make this stuff up as they go along.
Well,
you know? No,
they write it down.
Okay, great, exactly. They write it down. Here's
back
what we
to your
did.
Thing.
Ducati. We had said earlier in the year that it didn't look, with all that promise and all that hype at the beginning of the year and all the handicaps, you and I were the ones who spotted it, we went, hey, these people are not building, they're not developing the bike.
They were racing to the handicap.
They were racing to the handicap, nicely said.
Which can be a benefit or a negative.
And,
but we also pointed out that they don't necessarily have to win the championship to get the success they want.
They really wanted a race win, though.
I think so.
They clearly would have been happier,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the inconsistency that their riders have demonstrated here near the end shows the frustration.
I think it shows something else too. I think it shows that they built a bike that's really good, but not excellent, and they don't know how to get from really good.
They don't
to
have
excellent.
A plan to where to go next. They don't know what the thing
so
is.
So they're
to
just
fix.
You know, here we go. What do we do with the forks today? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it came up sevens.
That's
not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and that was
but the, everybody restarts with completely different tires.
Right.
My phrase is the Michelins have a different personality than the Pirelli, the Bridgestones.
They speak a different language.
Yeah, they do.
That's
so
what people ask me.
Who knows what that could do? Could do all kinds of things.
It could.
What's next on your list?
Well, hold on. I'm almost done with the tire thing, Ed. So just
I started the tire thing.
Calm, relax.
Has this ever worked on me?
Look at the dogs are relaxed. Everybody's
that's because I gave him sleeping pills.
No, you gave him meat. That's the same thing as a sleeping pill to a dog.
I ate sausage and then I blew in his face, which is really mean.
The people ask, what kind of tire is best? I tell them, what tire language do you speak? You know, that's really all it comes down to. So we'll see if the Michelin is fundamentally different. I honestly don't know because they're building a tire for the same machine. And it's not a machine that gives you a lot of leeway in terms of how the tire is built.
I've never ridden a Michelin tire, any kind, that didn't have the same thing of grip, 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 grip. How come I'm on my head? They've
exactly
always had that
me,
thing,
right?
So,
you know,
I don't think that's going to change. I hope it does. It would be great for Michelin to, you need to have some warning.
Well, that would actually.
But we're going to know more about that on Tuesday.
Yeah, and that will actually lead us to a discussion for our next podcast. So it's time for the 2-minute board.
Okay.
Ed, I want to talk about Josh Hayes's hair.
Okay.
Okay, you know why? Because if you look in road racing world, the finest road racing motorcycle ever created in the history of history.
Yes.
If you go to alternate universes, mm-hmm. road racing
world
still is
there?
Still the best.
Okay.
Okay. There's a picture of Josh. Josh Hayes' hair looks exactly like mine now.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Did you notice in the road racing world where Sam Fleming rode the Josh's bike after the season's over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just want to tell everybody it does matter where you put the decimal point.
Why?
Because Josh Hayes does not have 11.5 kilogram per millimeter fork springs. He has 1.15.
Oh right, okay.
Kilograms per right.
Then that, why won't these forks move?
It's just a minor. You know, those things happen.
These forks
where you
move
get a decimal
at
point.
All.
But think about that, folks. Josh is not heavy, and that bike is not heavy.
Right.
And that's a stout fork spring, and it works.
Oh yeah.
So when you're thinking, "Oh, that can't be," just ask yourself, how many AMA Pro Superbike titles does Josh have? Which leads us to Josh demonstrates how to take second in a championship.
You know,
that's how you do that job, folks.
There you go. That's part of the job.
It is.
I will leave us with the words of Niki Lauda. This is the last guy I wanted to talk about. We talked about Niki Hayden, got Eddie Lawson. Niki Lauda, Formula One driver, the Brabham fan car. We may have talked about this. Brabham had an engine configuration that wouldn't let him do the undercar tunnels to suck the car to the ground. So they thought, how are we going to get all this ground effects downforce? I know.
This was brilliant.
They sealed with like Lexan and a bag, some kind of barrier, something like that. They sealed the whole engine bay, okay? And they stuck this huge freaking cooling fan on the back of the engine bay. It's running at 1,000,000 RPM. It just sucks the car straight to the ground. They go out and they win the race. The car is immediately banned afterwards. To the FIA's credit, they let him keep the win because they were like, you know what? We didn't ban it in time. But other drivers complained. The car spits rocks at us. We can't follow you. And he said, Niki Lauda's famous quote was, if you don't like it, go around me. That's your job. That's your job as a racer. And if people, if you can't get around somebody, that's your problem, not the other guy's.
Yeah, it's my job to win a race. It's your job to beat me.
There you go. He's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha. Aloha.